if you would this morning. And let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. And we're going to look at one verse this morning. Now, verse 17. Colossians, chapter 4, and verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Once again, Colossians 4:17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Father, thank you again for the word of God, and Lord, help me to be a blessing as we preach and teach the word of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, when we look at this verse, it's kind of interesting. Paul just out of the blue, he just adds this one verse on there, verse 17, before he signs off. The next verse says, before that he said, verses prior to that, he's giving greetings and talking about different people. And then in verse 16 he says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, like that likewise ye read the epistle from Laodicea. Paul said, you need to tell, Laodicea was a near neighbor. He said, you need to go over there and let them read this letter as well as you. And not only that, you need to read the letter that they sent me. And so he's telling them that. And then all of a sudden, he points at one person, a fellow by the name of Archippus. We don't know much about Archippus. We don't really know a whole lot about him in any regard. We could do a biblical study on Archippus, and we could sit there and go through all the mentions of Archippus, but I don't know if that's really the point. We might be able to glean some information about Archippus. But then again, we would have to assume, we'd have to prove that if somebody named Archippus is mentioned somewhere else in the Bible, that it's the same person. So anything we did that way would be speculative unless we had something scripturally that tied that Archippus to this Archippus that Paul's talking about. And that's not a bad study to do, by the way. But you have to realize that sometimes there are scriptures that kind of we can get ideas about and insight about and maybe learn something from. But this one is pretty much a standalone verse. God just prompts him out of the blue and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now in my Bible, I have right above that, and it says, and say two, and then I have a little arrow, and above Archippus' name I have John Sanders written. And I have had that in every Bible that I've ever owned. I've sat there and as I've read that verse, I've taken that as a personal thing. Say to John Sanders, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And that's an important thing for us to think about. So I would ask the question today, are you taking heed to the ministry which you have received of the Lord, that you fulfill it? See, he put his name in there, and let's just be honest about this. This was extremely important to Archippus, because you have the apostle being moved by the Holy Ghost to mention his name specifically and tell him, hey, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. We don't know what Archippus' ministry was, necessarily. But he singled out individually. So if you were somebody from Colossae getting a letter from the apostle and say, man, we know that this is the apostle. He's going to speak to us the word of God. And all of a sudden, at the end of this epistle, at the end of this letter, you are singled out and he zooms in right on you and says, you take heed. That'd be pretty important, would it? But let me ask you a question. This verse was included in the Word of God. So is it just for Archippus? Or is it for all of us? Archippus is the example, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and what is profitable. Right? So when we look at this passage of Scripture, and he says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, then we might want to take a look at that ourselves and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Just like the Apostle Paul said when he was confronted with the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so he's saying to Archippus, you have a ministry, and he no doubt had an interest in this person, and God had an interest in this person. Now let me ask you another question. Is God a respecter of persons? Did God have more interest in Archippus than he does in you and me? No. So if you replace your name in the place of Archippus, then you have the question to yourself, or the charge, if you will, the exhortation, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now God leads different people into the ministry, but let's look at the word ministry for a minute. Let's look at the word ministry for a minute. Most of the time we like to take the word ministry and we like to say, oh, he's in the ministry. In other words, he's called to be a preacher. He's called to do this. He's made this his life vocation. He's a missionary. She's a missionary. We'll come up with ideas of people being in the quote ministry. And we take that word of ministry and we make it something that we can project onto a select few. And though God's not a respecter of persons, we like to be. And so we will sit there, and when we talk about ministry, we think about somebody else doing. A work of the ministry, right? However, when we look at the things that the Bible says about the ministry, it says, if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians real quick. In 2 Corinthians it says, now matter of fact, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. All right? He says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Notice what he says. Before that, he says, we all, right? All of us. And then he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So the ministry is not just for the select few. The ministry is for all. You are in the ministry. Whether you want to be or not, God has a ministry for you. God has a purpose. God has a plan for you. We hear that all the time, but we like to put it off. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not this. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a missionary. You know, whatever the case may be, I'm not a teacher. We could go down the list, but nonetheless, there's ministry. The gifts of the Spirit, they're given for what? For ministry. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, matter of fact, let's go back to verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now notice, let me ask you a question. Have you been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ? Therefore, we know that there is a commitment of the... if you've been reconciled to God, that ministry of reconciliation has been committed to you. And we talk about that like soul winning, don't we? We go into the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I just want you to see some things today, if I can help you see. But Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 8, it says, wherefore, let's go to verse 7. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In other words, God gave gifts to men, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. In other words, the saints are perfected to do the work of the ministry. We all have the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building of the body of Christ. And God's goal is that we cease to be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So once again, there's a thing about the ministry. Let me show you another thing. And I know there's a bunch of things that I could show you, but go over to the book of Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And let's go to verse... let's go to verse 11. But Christ come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. Of the testator, for a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things with better sacrifices than these. Now, I could go on and read the rest of that, but I want you to focus on this. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle, the book of the law, the people, the tabernacle, and all the vessels of the ministry were sprinkled with blood when they were dedicated. All the vessels of the ministry. But look at that thing about the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. Let me ask you a question. Have you been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus? If you're saved, Isaiah chapter 54, I believe it said, or 55, 53, 54, 55, it says he shall sprinkle many nations. Somewhere in there, I'm trying to remember where it is. Talking about sprinkling of his blood. All right? And so has the blood of Christ been applied to you? And if it has, let me ask you a question. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the assigned dwelling place of God, was it not? Where's God's dwelling place now? Well, obviously heaven, but also in us, isn't it? It's not this building, church building we have. It's us. You know, when we get to heaven, when we talk about that city, people look at that city and they look at the city and they say, if you read the book of Revelation, they say, wait a minute, that heavenly place, that must be the saints, because it does picture the saints, because when you think about what's going on, is there really a city? Yes, there is. Is there really a street of gold? Yes, there is. Are there really mansions? Is there really a river of life? Is there really all those things? Is there really a throne? Yes, there is. But that city does indeed envision and picture the church and in its final form. But the city is there for the people to dwell in, and God dwells in the people. Now we get to heaven and there'll be a throne and we'll get to see our Savior on the throne. But we'll still have God in us, won't we? Because we'll be quickened by the Spirit of God. God dwells in us. Now let me ask you a question. Where are the vessels of the ministry? We're the vessels of the ministry. So when we say ministry, we cannot say it belongs to the preacher. It belongs to all of us, doesn't it? So when we take that thing and we say, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, what are we really saying there? Well, we're simply saying that we need to realize that we have a ministry. You have a ministry. Have you looked and asked God what that ministry is? Some of these things are common to all of us. Being soul winners, for example, right? Being witnesses for Christ. That's a ministry of every believer, right? But there are other things that God calls us to, that God moves on our heart to do. And the reason, way of doing the ministry is simply allowing God to move on our heart and us being obedient to do what God wants us to do. We're supposed to be ministers. We have a ministry of reconciliation. And we're to take heed to do the ministry which God has called us to, which we received of the Lord. Everybody receives the ministry of the Lord. You know, a lot of times we run around and we think about, okay, I can say God's called me to preach. God's called me to be a pastor of a church, right? Okay, I got it figured out. God's called me to be a pastor of a church. I'm fully persuaded that's what God's called me to do. But that's not just the end of itself, just saying I'm a pastor. I have to actually follow the Lord. He may have particular things for me to do today. In the fulfilling of a ministry, of the ministry, it's not just announcing myself to be a pastor. There's a day-to-day component of that I have to meet to be a pastor. There's an expectation of study, of rightly dividing the word of truth, of being faithful, being an example, being all the things I'm supposed to be. And that happens on a day-to-day basis as I make choices with my life. That's part of my ministry. But I'd say a lot of those things, reading your Bible and praying, that's part of your ministry too. I don't think that's a unique thing for pastors. I think it's a thing for all believers. But I'm just simply saying, have you fulfilled the ministry? Are you taking heed to fulfill the ministry? When you take heed to something, that means, guess what? You give it priority. I am here. My purpose here is to serve God to the very best of my ability. Whatsoever we do in word or in deed, we do it all to what? To the glory of God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. I could go on and on and on and on and on, but the bottom line is, we have a ministry. And God cautions us through Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. It doesn't matter what the ministry is. It just matters that we fulfill it. And in the final analysis, it just matters if we're obedient. That's what it matters. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the Sunday school time. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it's a very simple thing. So often we don't take heed to the ministry. And Lord, we just pray for your forgiveness for that. But Lord, help us to not just say we're sorry, but just give you the ministry, the work, whatever it is you call on us to do, just to continue to do it, be faithful at it. And Lord, help us to take heed, to make it a priority, and to realize that we have that you're not just speaking to Archippus, you're speaking to us. Lord, you know every heart, you know every need, you know every fear, you know everything. But we need your help to see and understand. Lord, much of it we already understand, we're just lazy. We don't do it the way we're supposed to. Or we convince ourselves somehow that we can't. Father, help us to realize that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.